Galatians chapter 6.
I think one of the things that we find challenging as Christians is accepting God's Word for what it says. And I'll explain a little bit of what I mean here. We know that the Bible is God's Word, and we know that God can't lie. But I want you to think about your own life. Over the years, we've read so many books. Just any kind of book. It doesn't matter. It could be, you know, novels. It could be, you know, when you were a kid, Nancy Drew books, whatever. Textbooks in school and so forth. We've read many, many different books. And we've also read the Bible. And I think sometimes when we read the Bible, mentally, we tend to look at it as literature, not as life. And I think that's an easy trap for us to fall into. Because, you know, God's Word, it can't lie. It is truth. But when we look at it, it's a hard thing for us to read this and see, you know, the ink on the paper and then reconcile it within ourselves that this is life. Well, Jesus said, "My words are spirit, they are life." The Word of God is alive. So therefore, as we read this book, we are reading life. Now, that is kind of an odd thing, isn't it? When you just think of it like that. But the fact that it is life means that it imparts life. When we're born again, our spirits are now capable of handling the magnitude of the life that is represented by the Word of God, that is the Word of God, that is released by the Word of God. Until we were born again, we had a sin nature that was not compatible with the life of the Word of God. Well, now we're born again, and we have this ability to receive what this Word is, and it is life. So when we read the Word of God, we are reading truth that is not going to change. So if we approach it from that perspective, then we're going to, how can I put it? We're going to take the Word of God with a whole different, we'll have a whole different outlook on it, if you will. Because that means that every time I get in here and I begin to read, God is working life in me. But He's also revealing to me spiritual truths that are not going to change, that are a constant for my life. Well, look here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." This passage is, it's not about offerings, okay? It's been used like that, but it's not about offerings. Because he says, look, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. This is written to Christians. So that's telling me that if I sow to my flesh, I'll reap corruption. But as a Christian, if I sow to my Spirit, then I'm going to reap spiritual life, which is eternal. And that is so critical for us to understand. So here's what I'm seeing. And this is a principle now that God has established here in His Word. He says in verse 7, "Be not deceived." Well, let's say that a little bit differently. Don't take this lightly. Don't believe that this is not true. Do not look at this as just a passing remark. Do not deceive yourself into not believing this. God is not mocked. You say, well, how in the world could we mock God? By acting like this is not true. By acting like it's not real. By acting like it doesn't work. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And then he tells you right here, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you need more clarification on this, let me help you understand. If you sow to your flesh, you are going to reap corruption. People that say things like, well, let me just pick one, okay? People that say that pornography is not that big of a deal, he says, hey, don't you deceive yourself. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Said a little bit differently, if you sow to anything that is not of God, then you're going to reap the corruption that comes with that. But he turns right around and he also says, but if you sow to the Spirit, well, okay, now I know that's a capital S, but he's not talking about the Holy Ghost. Think for a moment. What could I sow to the Holy Spirit that he doesn't already have? He's God. So this really shouldn't be a capital S. He's talking about sowing to your born-again spirit. If you sow to your born-again spirit, then it is out of your born-again spirit you are going to reap an ever-increasing level of spiritual life. Now, I want you to think of the natural. He's using a natural illustration here, sowing and all that. So let's think for a moment in the natural. What happens? Well, we take a seed, we sow it. And then what do? Well, we're supposed to water it, are we not? So we water the seed. Then what happens? It begins to grow, right? Then after it has fully grown, whatever it is we sowed, you know, wheat, apples, corn, I mean, whatever. When the time comes for the harvest, we harvest the fruit, and then whether it's fruit or vegetables, whatever, we harvest that. I mean, sometimes we plant flowers for what purpose? So that the beautiful flowers will grow, we can cut them and make them a bouquet for the, you know, the table or something like that. So whatever it is that we plant it for a reason, and then we water it, it begins to grow, and when it reaches its time of harvest, then we harvest it for its intended purpose. This is a spiritual law that is not going to change. He says so right here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you reap. So if I take this truth and I believe it, and then I begin to sow in my life, I begin to initiate this process, then verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. Well, what would be considered well-doing? This whole process of, you know, sowing to my spirit. Let us not be weary in well-doing because in due season you're going to reap. Now, I'm just going to create an illustration. This is not exactly how it works, but I'm just creating, I'm making this up. Let's say that I want God to use me when it comes to ministering healing to people. So, I do this process. You know, I sow to my spirit. And then, in my spirit, I begin reaping the life of what I've been sowing. Well, pretty soon, it's due season for people's hearing to be healed. And then a little bit later on, it's due season for people's eyes to be healed as I'm praying for them. And then later, it's due season for people's feet and legs to be healed. And then even beyond that, there's a due season. You know, now people are being healed of cancer. Now, again, I'm not trying to establish doctrine with this. I'm just creating an illustration. In other words, when it comes to reaping spiritual life, you're not going to reap everything at once. Even in the natural, different types of food, they grow at different rates and they're harvested at different times. Well, that's the way it is within us. There is a process of spiritual growth and development. So I sow to the Spirit and I begin to grow and I begin to develop, I begin to mature, and then pretty soon I have a due season for whatever it is that it's time for me to reap in my life. Now, turn with this in mind, turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And this is where Jesus is, you know, teaching the parable about the sowing and all this other, and people have twisted it to turn it into an offering message when it's not. But Jesus says in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure, but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And again, you know, it's so sad how the so many preachers have pulled verse 20 out of context and made it sound like it's a harvest of your offerings. You know, well, that's not it. He's talking, verse 14, about the sower soweth the word. Now, I want you to look at this. When you go from verses 14, 15, and so forth, all the way down to verse 20, verse 20 is the goal. We want to be verse 20. What are verse 20 people? These are the people that are the good ground. They hear, receive it, and bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's the goal. Here's the problem. When we get born again, every single one of us now, when we first get born again, we are somewhere from verses 15 to 19. When you first get born again, you're not a verse 20. I don't care who you are or what you think, you're not a verse 20. Now, there are some people who might think they are verse 20s, and I've also seen some believers attribute verse 20 characteristics to newborn Christians because of their zeal. Well, zeal does not translate into bearing fruit. Zeal for the Lord does not mean you're bearing the fruit of the Lord, if you will. So we are all somewhere from verses 15 through 19. I'm not going to go through and, you know, dissect all of the things going on here in verses 15 through 19, but I want to point something out to you. Verses 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. All of these people are hearing. All of them. Look, verse 15. When they've heard, Satan cometh immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. See that? So they heard it. It was sown. Then in verse 16, it was sown on stony ground. Who, when they have heard, immediately receive it with gladness, but because they don't have any, verse 17, stability, then for a while, everything's going okay, but as soon as problems come up in life, for the word's sake, then they start saying, it's not worth it, it doesn't work, they start complaining and so forth. And honestly, my experience seems to have been, over the years, that most people are in this verses 16 and 17 category. Because I've had so many people over the years that, you know, they hear teaching about praying in the Spirit and all these other things, and for a while it's like, yeah, praise God, man, glory, hallelujah. Then they hit that impasse. The afflictions and the persecutions for the word's sake. You say, what do you mean afflictions and persecutions? I mean, I've not been tortured for preaching. No, no, no. An affliction or a persecution for the word's sake is anything that comes up in your life to try to neutralize the word that's been sown in you. These persecutions and afflictions can be problems at home. It can be strife at home with the kids. It can be strife between husband and wife. It's anything. It's any kind of affliction. It's not affliction, not just sickness, but it's that kind of stuff that rises up to try to neutralize that word that's been sown in your life. And for a lot of people, and I mean a lot of Christians, even in this church, the afflictions and the... You know one of the ways to determine when afflictions and persecutions are hitting a person's life? And don't anybody get mad at me now. It's when people start becoming less faithful in their commitment to the church where God has them planted. Hey, the people that are gung-ho, aren't they waiting for the doors to be unlocked so they can get in here? Or maybe they're not actually waiting, but you know what I'm talking about. They want to be here. They can't wait to be here. They get mad if they're here and nobody else is here. You know, when are we going to have church? What do you mean? They just want to be here. Why? Well, because there's something happening in their life. Change is taking place. There's a spiritual good that's happening. However, because they're not as far along in the Lord as maybe what they think, or I don't know, whatever the case would be, stuff begins to happen. And then, you know, they're late. They stop showing up. People that are a part, like, you know, Sunday school teachers or people on the praise team or ushers or deacons or what. I mean, people that have commitments, they stop fulfilling their commitments. They stop communicating that they're not going to fulfill their commitments. What's happening is the shallowness of their ground is being revealed. And in some cases, they really just get flaky. And it says here, they get offended. Well, this offended, don't think of it strictly in terms as getting mad at somebody. Think of it in terms of they become entrapped. They step into a trap. They take the bait that Satan lays out there, the offense of the persecution. They take the bait, and once they've taken the bait, and they begin justifying in their minds why it's okay to be late when used to I was always on time. Why it's okay to not fulfill my word when I gave my word that I would do this, do that, or do the other. Now, I don't do that. I'm not keeping the word that I gave. And not only am I not keeping it, but I'm not communicating to others why I'm not going to keep my word. And then They justify that it's okay to be absent from this, whatever. Now, when that begins to happen, so many of those Christians, if you go to them and you try to talk to them about that, they get offended. You're trying to control my life. They may not say it like that, but in their minds, they want to know, well, who do you think you are? Well, I guess the reverse is, well, who do you think you are? Don't you know the Bible says it's better not to give your word than to give your word and break it? Do you not understand Scripture? Well, yes, but you don't understand my circumstances. Yeah, I do. They're right here. Afflictions and persecutions have arisen for the word's sake. People leave churches over this stuff. Well, anyway, the goal is for us to get to verse 20, because the verse 20 people hear too. But what's the difference between the verse 20 people and all the other folks? Look, it says, they hear it and receive it. They receive it. That right there is the difference. What does it mean to receive? What it means is this. You hear it, meaning there's a revelation, well, like what I just shared earlier in Galatians, and I showed you how it looked. It says right there, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You sow to your born-again spirit, you're going to reap the life of your born-again spirit. There's going to be spiritual life begin to overflow in you and through you and out of you. That's what it says. So, you see that. And everybody in here heard that tonight. Everybody watching, everybody who listened to this after the fact heard that. And if they followed along in Scripture, you know, you saw it too. So here we are, all of us, we've heard it, but it's only the people who receive it who will receive the benefit from it. So I look at that and I say, okay, it says right there in Scripture, in God's Word, don't be deceived, God is not mocked. Well, I sure don't want to mock God. So therefore, if He says that if I sow to my spirit, I'm going to reap life. I ought to sow to my spirit. And He also says, don't be weary in well-doing. What is well-doing? Sowing to my spirit. Don't be weary in the well-doing of sowing to your spirit, because in due season you will reap. You're going to get this harvest. So I read that and I say, okay. But I just have a question. Just exactly how does that work? Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, you sow to your spirit. Sower sows the word. Sow to your spirit. Yeah, but how does it work? Well, I don't know exactly how it works. It just God just said it works. I mean, but I want to know how it works. You know what you are? You're a non-receiver. You heard it. Otherwise, you wouldn't know how to argue about this. A person who's receiving is going to read it and accept it by faith without demanding the details on how it works. And I've seen people before, and I've encountered this over the years, where they want to sit down and they want to, like Old or New Testament, they want to, you know, Hebrew or Greek the verse ad infinitum, till by the time they're done, you have no clue what they're talking about. They don't even know what they're talking about. They've twisted the meaning, and it just on and on it goes, and they want to get into all the... I don't know if you've been in those services where they stand up, and, well, now in the aorist tense of the Greek, blah, blah, summa, wama, flamma, wama, who knows what that means? You know, I just... Tell me what it says, okay? I don't have to have the breakdown. What's it say? It says, you know, sow to the Spirit. Okay, that's all I need to know. That's it. It says, sow to the Spirit, you're going to, you know, reap in due season. You're going to. It's guaranteed. It's going to happen. That's all I need to know. I don't need some spiritual Einstein to break it down into formulas for me. I just need to know. What does it mean? It means I receive the message. Even if I don't understand all of the little, you know, jots and tittles and all these other... I just receive it, man, because it's what it says. Do you honestly believe that when we stand before God, He's going to ask us if we understood the Greek tenses of His Word? I don't think so. And besides here, the Holy Spirit, do you think... Now, kiss this. You think the Holy Spirit's caught up in all the Greek tenses? And all the Hebrew and all the... You think He's caught up in that? No. All you have to know is how to communicate with the Holy Spirit, and He can bring revelation truth to your spirit. And you can come to the place of understanding the Word of God. You don't have to go to, you know, Greek and Hebrew school. Well, here in Mark chapter 4, verse 20, He says, if you hear and you receive, here's what's going to happen. You're going to bring forth fruit some 30, 60, or 100-fold. It will. Here's another thing that we sometimes... Remember, we talked earlier about how that, you know, we read it, but sometimes we take it as literature, not everlasting truth. Here's everlasting truth. He says, look, if you will hear and if you will receive, you are going to bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, 60, and 100. It's going to happen. It can't not happen. Well, now, here's part of the problem. When it doesn't happen the way we in our minds have determined it should happen, that's when we can become weary in the well-doing and stop. And I've seen this so many times. Every now and then, throughout the years, I've received emails from people. Says, "Well, I've been praying in the Spirit, and I still don't know this, and I still don't know that." It's like, well, let's call a time out here. And let's think about this. What does the Bible say about praying in the Spirit? Well, you know, it says this, this, and this. Therefore, if the Bible says when you pray in the Spirit that all these kind of things are happening, then those things are happening. And it doesn't matter what you perceive as the results. The truth is, you can't not pray in the Spirit and not get those results. It's impossible for it not to happen. Yes, but I want... Well, hold on. In Romans chapter 8, it tells us that the Holy Spirit prays for us according to whose will? Yours or God's? God's will. Therefore, as you're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is praying in you, through you, according to what God knows you need prayed over. Whatever it is you need to be praying about, that's what's coming out. And the thing is, you may have some really deep problem areas that you haven't recognized. There may be some things on the inside of you that are hindering the flow, the free flow of the life of God's Word on the inside of you, and you don't even realize it's there. I've encountered believers over the years to where it was obvious there was something going on in them, And they thought everything was okay. And they thought they were receiving from God. They were growing in the Lord and so forth. But to me, it was plainly obvious. You know, it ain't happening the way you think. But if you try to tell them that, then they think you're the one that's the troublemaker and you're the one that's trying to stop their progress and you're the one who's giving them a hard time and, you know, so on and so forth. It's like, wait a second. There's something at work on the inside there. If you will continue to do what you know to do, things are going to change. You're going to, you know, have the 30, 60, or 100-fold. It's going to happen. It can't not happen. So in this process, when we're born again, we're not the verse 20 good ground. No matter how smart and intellectual we are, we're not verse 20. You say, well, how in the world do you become verse 20? You have to become a receiver. Well, how do you become a receiver? Again, you make a decision. You're just going to accept what it says, whether you really understand the depth of it or not. You know, Jesus talked about the sower sows the word. Well, God's word is life. You're sowing the word, you're sowing life into your life. That's why you're going to reap life. And this is such a hard thing for us to grasp because we just don't see this. We don't see it the way that we should. I mean, think of it like this. All these words in here, they have a heartbeat. They're alive. They have the heartbeat of God. All these words in Scripture. And so as you're reading it, you know, all these love-dub, it's all heartbeats here in the Word. You know, they're all beating and they're beating at the same time. I mean, it just you can feel it. Glory to God. Well, it's life. It's not just words. It's life. See, this is why you can have some people, they read the Bible over and 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 over, and they don't make any progress. They hear, but they're not receiving. When I teach on praying in the Spirit, many times I can look out over the congregation and I can tell you who's receiving and who's not. Because there are a lot of Christians, they flat out don't believe they need to pray in tongues. Well, my question is, at what point did God change his mind? Because he tells you right in here in his word what happens when you do pray in the Spirit. So therefore, you know, you can hear this and hear this and hear this, but you're not a receiver until you start doing it. Yeah, and I'll just admit to you, I'm challenged in that area of fasting. Because I've battled, you know, some low blood sugar things in the past, and you know, it's not good when you start shaking all over. I mean, I don't even talk about me, praise God. But the thing is, you know, you until you start activating, until you start participating with, then you're not really receiving. And it's just amazing how so many people will talk about, yeah, well, you know, Word of God, I believe the Word of God is true. Every Word of God is pure. Every Word of God is true. Oh, I believe every word He said. Do you believe in praying in tongues? Oh, it's not for today. Well, then, you're barely hearing. And here's what's crazy. There are passages of Scripture where some Christians, as they read it, they rearrange it while they read it. Well, God doesn't really mean that. Here's what He means. That's not what He said. Yeah, but that's not what He means. Here's what He means. Well, He didn't say what you say. No, but that's what He means. How do you know? Because I said so. What He says in here is what He means. I'm God, I change not. What's so hard about that? Forever my word is settled. So therefore He says, look, sow the word. As you sow and receive, you begin making your way through verses 15, 16, 17, and 18, and 19, and you end up in verse 20. And you begin harvesting that spiritual life that's been growing on the inside. If we're not getting, when we read the Word of God and we see all these things that are supposed to be happening in the life of a believer, if we're not seeing these things happen, then we aren't sowing, receiving, growing, and harvesting enough. Very simple. Look, guys, it's either this book is either the greatest practical joke in all of history, or it's true. It can't be both. And when you have different churches and denominations, whatever, you know, basically trying to... You ever heard of revisionist history? Where, you know, what happens becomes what is not taught. What happened becomes what is not taught. History gets changed. There is such a thing as revisionist gospel. Revisionist scripture. Where what is taught is not what was written. This goes on all over the place. And God has said right here, if you do verse 14 and you begin receiving, you're going to move past verses 15 through 19. You're going to end up living a verse 20 life. You're going to end up harvesting, bearing the fruit of spiritual life that's been growing on the inside of you. I can remember, and again, it's a process. I can remember praying for people and hoping they would get healed, and a lot of people didn't. In fact, nobody did. Then, you know, you start praying for people, and people start getting healed. It's like, well, this is cool. Are you sure you were even sick before? I mean, you really got healed. Really, you were healed. People get healed. You pray for people and other things happen. You pray for people who aren't even around, and a miracle takes place in their life somewhere else. It's like, wow. Dumbest thing you can say is, I wonder how that happened. Because God just wrings His hands and says, what is wrong with you? It says right here, if you want to be good ground, then you're going to have to make a decision to be a receiver. You're going to have to make a decision to say, look, you know, it's one thing for me to sow it and hear it, but it's another thing for me to begin to receive it. And remember the process that that I pointed out earlier about how, you know, when something's sown, it gets watered, then it begins to grow, and then you reap the fruit of what is grown. Look over in John chapter 7. Jesus said the sower sows the word. Well, in John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So here, when I get born again, the life of God is in me. But as I begin to pray in tongues, it's like this holy river begins to flow. I begin to pray in tongues, and it's like I'm watering the word that's been sown on the inside. Now, that word, when watered through that kind of prayer, it can't not grow. It will absolutely grow. When you sow the word and you begin to pray in the Spirit, it is the healthiest environment for spiritual plants to grow. Because now what's happening is that life is being fed by the rivers of living water, if you will, and it's going to grow. But it's going to take time. The thing is, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. Don't be weary in well-doing. What is well-doing? Sowing to my Spirit. And when you do this, when you apply these principles of sowing, watering, the growing will begin to take place, and you are going to see the 30, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100-fold. You're going to see it. It is going to happen in your life. You just can't be weary in this well-doing. And it's frustrating for me when I encounter believers who have heard teaching on this, and then they just want to throw up their hands and quit because, again, it's not happening the way they want it to happen. But what you don't understand is if you're sowing and if you're watering, growth is taking place. Let's just talk about somebody who smokes. I don't know if anybody in this room smokes or not. But let's say you have a Christian who smokes and they want to quit. It's like, I just don't understand. I've been trying to quit. I just can't seem to quit. I just don't know what's going on. We can preach a whole sermon on all that. But sow the Word of God into your life. Particularly things about your victory in Christ. About how you're an overcomer. I mean, all these different things in the Word. But just be sowing the Word. Sowing the Word. Sowing. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Sow the Word. So just keep sowing. Keep praying in tongues. Water, water, water. Keep praying. I've been doing that. You don't understand. I've been doing that. I've been doing, for a year. I've been doing that for a year and I still can't quit. I still haven't been able to stop smoking. Okay? So then what you're telling me is that you have gained absolutely nothing in this whole year? You're telling me that what God said about the sowing, the watering, and all that it's not happening. Is that what you're saying to me? Well then, you say, well, no, I'm not really saying that, but you kind of are. But you don't want to tread on the thin ice of accusing God falsely. But you can't explain it. Well, how about if I help you out? Here's your answer. It's one, there's a bigger issue in your life than smoking. And God is addressing that issue. And it's possible that issue is why you're smoking. Not the fact that you are, but why you're doing it. What's happening? What is it in your life that makes you feel like you want to smoke? Well, I'm addicted to it. Now, we're not talking about addiction. The addiction is in the flesh. The addiction is not in the spirit. You need to understand that. Your spirit's not addicted to anything. It's your flesh. And along with that, your emotions. Your mind, your brain's been trained. I think a lot of people that smoke, what do? They eat. And what do they do right after they eat? Light up. Why is that? They've trained themselves to associate eating with smoking. Same thing in the morning. First thing, what do? Light up and smoke while you drink your coffee. Why? Because you've been trained to associate coffee, smoking, and get up together. Some people have trained themselves to smoke while they're in the bathroom. For whatever reason you're in there. But they... Some people actually smoke in the shower. Do you know that? Yes, they do. The water's coming down, and they'll have like a little thing, like the edge of the tub or the shower, whatever, and the cigarette will be up there, and they've trained them. I mean, in other words, they are associating these different things, okay? Now, what that means is you have trained yourself, like... What was that? Pavlov's dog, ring the bell and start salivating or whatever. You become Pavlov's dog. You have associated behavior and activity. Okay? So God knows there's something going on in you that is diverting your attention from what's really important, and now you're locked into this activity and association thing. He wants to work on the deeper issues. Work on the deeper issues, and guess what? The leaf of smoking will wither up and die. And you won't smoke anymore. So what's happening is, and this would be for anything, smoking, drinking, pornography, chewing, anything. So what's happening is, you're sowing the Word, sowing the Word, sowing the Word, and you're praying, 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 and the Holy Spirit's working on these roots that go all the way down to your toenails. You think the problem is smoking, he knows it's deeper than that. Now that's just one example. But God has said, don't be weary in well-doing. Because if you continue to sow and faint not, you are going to reap. That's a guarantee from God. Look, you believed Him when you put your faith in Jesus Christ to be born again. Why shouldn't you believe Him here in this? Put your faith in and believe Him what He says here. He says, if you keep sowing, you're going to reap. Sow to your flesh, you're going to reap. You're going to reap the life of my word, the life of my life. You're going to reap it in your life. The change is going to come. It absolutely is going to come. You're never wasting time when you're sowing the word and watering it. Never. You know what will destroy or what will pollute good ground? Is pride. I want you to look at one other verse. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The moment that you think you have reached a place of success is the moment you will be plateaued in life. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So let's just say it like this. You are what you are because of the grace of God. In other words, you begin to sow, you water, you begin to grow on the inside, and it's only the grace of God that has enabled this whole sowing, watering, growing, reaping process to work. If God hadn't set this thing in motion, it wouldn't work in your life. Wouldn't work for any of us, because God has said, look, this is how it is. He says, don't you mock me now. I'm telling you, this is how it works. You sow, you water, you grow, and you're going to reap. Well, praise God. You know, am I going to reap a lot of money? When you have some time, go to Galatians chapter 5. Read all about the fruit of the Spirit. You shall of the Spirit reap that spiritual life. In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to be reaping the life of God in you. And let me tell you what's going to happen. The more of God's life that you reap in your own life, the less you're going to be all concerned about money, stuff. You're going to rejoice because God is flowing through you more and more with less and less hindrance of you being in the way. Praise God. Now, the thing is, if you don't do this, yeah, if you're born again, you still go to heaven. It's okay. You will go to heaven. But to me, there's benefit of reaping that kind of life while here on earth. And it's not just to get a pat on the back from God when I get to heaven. It's for the benefit of people around me so that God can work through me to do for other people what He wants to do through me. And I'm going to tell you something. When you pray for somebody and healing manifests, buddy, there is a happy on the inside of you that just does not want to go away. It's like, wow, man, this is cool. This stuff really works. Yeah, don't stop. Keep sowing, keep watering. You're going to keep growing, you're going to keep reaping. It's going to happen. Cannot happen. You're going to get the 30, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 fold. You're going to get it. And if you think you're happy, let me tell you something. Your Heavenly Father is super happy. Just in the natural, man. Parents get so happy when that kid takes the first step. You know, they've been standing up and kerplop, standing up and kerplop. Then one day, you know, there they go, wobbly. And they take a step and they realize, ooh, I took a step. Have you ever watched kids when they do that? What happens? They take that step and they realize they've finally done it. And what do? They immediately look up at mommy and daddy to see that response from mommy and daddy. And their eyes are just, they're brilliant, shining. And they got that big smile on their face, you know, nothing but gums. And they're looking up at you and you're looking down at them and you're smiling. Okay, one tooth hanging down. And then, and you're smiling, and you can feel that joy flowing. You know what I'm talking about? And you don't think your Heavenly Father feels even more so when we start taking those steps of spiritual maturity? Praise God. Man, I want to make Dad happy. Hallelujah. And he says right here in the Word, it works. It works. You are going to reap. You can't fail. Glory to God. So all of you success stories, please stand.